man, our leader's demonstration of generic man, by Paul R. Smiley, the Gethsemane Foundation. Our leader writes about generic man as follows. What is man? He is the compound idea of God, including all right ideas, the generic term for all that reflects God's image and likeness. Through spiritual sense, you can discern the heart of divinity, and thus begin to comprehend in science the generic term man. Man is the generic term for all humanity. The truth about generic man, the true idea about every child, man and woman, not as mortals, but as the image and likeness of God, is revealed in Christian science. In James, we read, "For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass mirror. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, the mirror of divine science, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Had not James caught a glimpse that there is a divine science, a mirror, though the full capacity of that science was not revealed in his time? James' instruction to Christians is to continue therein. How does the Christian do that? Jesus said, "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Is not our perception of the Master then primary to continuing therein? Moral and spiritual vision, gratitude, obedience, and love for the Master enabled his followers then, as well as now, to view the reflected truth about himself as a Christian. In the Amplified Version of Mark, we read, "No one who does a mighty work in my name will soon afterward be able to speak evil of me." Isn't it true then that we could not speak evil of Jesus and expect to heal in his name? To heal through the revelation he brought? An incorrect perception of Christ Jesus would bring about the loss of Christian healing. He said, "This is the work, service, that God asks of you, that you believe in the one whom he has sent, that you cleave to, trust, rely on, and have faith in his messenger." The pure and good Christ, Jesus, is inseparable from the revelation he lived and demonstrated. How can Christians do the works revealed through the mirror, His revelation, if they don't believe properly on the one God sent? How can one approximate the character of a Christian and heal with the Christianity he brought if one is not Christian enough to love the one God sent? There are many errors that would keep us from seeing face to face, beholding ourselves in the mirror of divine science: ingratitude, disobedience, lack of love for God's messenger, downgrading and belittling that one, jealousy and hatred of the messenger's precious spiritual mindedness. In 1 Corinthians, Paul says, "For now we are looking in a mirror that gives only a dim, blurred reflection of reality, as in a riddle or an enigma. But then, when perfection comes, we shall see in reality and face to face. Now I know in part, perfectly, but then I shall know and understand fully and clearly, even in the same manner as I have been fully and clearly known and understood by God." The dim reflection of reality came through the first advent, but the all truth, the science prophesied by Jesus, would reveal the full and clear reflection at the time of the second advent. In Science and Health, the glossary definition of Father ends with the phrase commonly called God. The first word defining mother is God. Yet many Christian Scientists rarely, if ever, call God mother. They are often held in the commonly used term for God, Father, the concept held by Christian orthodoxy as well as much of the religious world. We might say that to the degree that Christian Scientists fail to think in terms of God as mother, they are working with 2,000-year-old mental work. They work with perfect God, Father, and perfect man, and neglect the science of the Christ revealed through God's motherhood. The Mother God is the foundation of the Mother Church, the basis of the highest sense of womanhood and the love for our leader. The truth about God as Mother vitalizes the healing work and cleanses mortal mind as nothing else can. Any abnormal resistance among scientists to seeing God as mother expresses itself on the human scene as a crisis in mothering, consternation concerning true womanhood, and abuse of women. The consequent rejection of Mrs. Eddy as our leader results in a lack of healing and the disarray of the Mother Church. How can Christian Scientists follow their precious leader, their mother in Israel, if they follow the world standard of God as Father? A limited revelation, and thus automatically reject the full revelation revealed through God's motherhood. If God was revealed as Father at the time of the first advent and as Mother at the second advent, we have the opportunity to understand the all truth into which we are led, and led by whom? Our leader. We cannot understand the all truth, the science, if we reject the messenger, the one God sent. Her use of the term Father was a concession to the world's thought about God. In earlier editions of Science and Health, she referred to God as Mother in many cases and used she and her as pronouns. But the world's hatred of God as Mother may have been the reason later editions carried fewer such references. Can the world ever receive the science of Christianity if Christian Scientists' concept of God as Father outweighs their adoration of Him as Mother? In Science and Health, Mrs. Eddy wrote, "As Elias presented the idea of the fatherhood of God, which Jesus afterwards manifested, so the Revelator completed this figure with woman, typifying the spiritual idea of God's motherhood, which Mrs. Eddy afterwards manifested." As this is a reference to Revelation, it is essential that we consider our leader's other references to that same verse. In miscellaneous writings, she says, "Do the children of this period dream of the spiritual mother's sore travail through the long night that has opened their eyes to the light of Christian Science?" In retrospection and introspection, thus must the mother in Israel give all her hours to those first sacred tasks, till her children can walk steadfastly in wisdom's ways. Mrs. Eddy wrote, "Do you love that which represents God most, His highest idea as seen today? No." Again, without a correct sense of its highest visible idea, we can never understand the divine principle included in our leader's exegesis of Revelation. Do we love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, and soul? If we do not love the one God sent? The answer is, of course, we do not. How can we love God, whom we have not seen, if we don't love the leader we have seen? Explaining Revelation, our leader says, the great miracle to human sense is divine love, and the grand necessity of existence is to gain the true idea of what constitutes the kingdom of heaven in man. This goal is never reached while we hate our neighbor or entertain a false estimate of anyone whom God has appointed to voice His word. Isn't our leader, whom we have seen, our best neighbor? Isn't she the one appointed to voice God's word? If our churches lack love, if they are not demonstrating the kingdom of heaven in man clearly for all the world to see, we not wonder why. As love is the fulfilling of the law and prophets, then a lack of love for or a false estimate of the one God sent would violate the law and the work of the prophets. Can a church survive that violates the law of love? Judge Hanna wrote in his memoirs, when I ask Mrs. Eddy why Christian Scientists were not more grateful to her, she replied, because they have not grown to it. So, is our mother church advancing? All the people need to love and adopt Christian Science is a true sense of its founder. In proportion as they have found it, will our cause advance? Mrs. Eddy understood what mortal mind was up to. She said, the Babylonian woman in the apocalypse has thrown wormwood into the waters to turn trusting thoughts to hatred against me. The idea. One way of describing this demonstration of generic man is through the understanding of true mothering. Mrs. Eddy spoke of herself as our mother in Israel. That is, the one who mothers all mankind, embraces all mankind, and reveals to every child, man and woman, the science of their own being. She accords herself that loving position. If a child hated his mother's wise counsel and admonitions, rejected her love and constancy, her affection and goodness for him, laughed at her honesty and compassion for him, would he have access to these qualities of thought so earnestly expressed by his mother? This child would have to learn through much suffering the folly of hating spirituality. Self-will, self-love, and self-justification are, as she says, the adamant of error. All of this loses the lessons our mother taught us, lessons obscured by self-will, disrespect, selfishness, disobedience, inconsiderateness, ingratitude, indifference, arrogance, envy, jealousy, hatred, egotism, and intellectualism. Why, as our leader says, must we love the highest visible idea? Is it because she is holding the mirror of divine science? Is she saying, "Here, little lambs, let me show you the way"? The voices of deflection say, "We don't need her. We'll hold it up for ourselves." One way holds us in her demonstration, the other keeps us out of her demonstration. Eve held up the mirror of true selfhood in Genesis, but Adam rejected it by blaming Eve. She uncovered the nature of the serpent, recognized it as a beguiler, and therefore refused to blame Adam. Thus, she was seeing into the perfect law of liberty. Hence, the prophecy given to Eve in Genesis 3:15, to be fully revealed at the coming of the revelation of God's motherhood. Had Adam turned on the serpent along with Eve, the material record would have been expunged and human history would have been much shorter. Had Adam been more manly, he would have listened and awakened in his likeness. That is a capital H referring to God. Mrs. Eddy demonstrated generic man, embraced all mankind in her demonstration, gave them the science of their own being. All it would take to keep and extend her demonstration would be for us to support her in it and love her. Stop rejecting and defaming her as some biographies have done, biographies that attempt to make her appear common and ordinary. If we understand the nature of Mrs. Eddy's demonstration of generic man and the danger of minimizing that demonstration, we can understand that the lamb was a symbol of the Christ. And Jesus manifested this Christ humanly and demonstrated this Christ idea for all men. Just as the Lamb was a symbol of the Christ manifested humanly as Jesus, or demonstrated humanly by Jesus, so the woman in the Apocalypse, like the Lamb, is a symbol of something, and our leader tells us that it symbolizes generic man. We recognize as a fact that Jesus's demonstrated the Christ. Would we say we are all the Messiah? We are all the Lamb of God? Mrs. Eddy says that the woman in the Apocalypse symbolizes generic man. Does this mean we are all the woman in the Apocalypse? In Unity of Good, our leader says, man is the generic term for all humanity. Woman is the highest species of man. And this word is the generic term for all women, but not one of all these individualities is an Eve or an Adam. They have none of them lost their harmonious state in the economy of God's wisdom and government. Who then would first demonstrate this generic man? Obviously, a woman. As she says, woman is the highest species of man, and that woman must give it birth. This is the end of page 2 of the article by Paul Smiley entitled Our Leader's Demonstration of Generic Man. It will be continued on the next MP3.